Oh, hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial fall, to him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. To him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all.
So we will be in Matthew chapter 15 at verse 21. If you brought a Bible and can prepare to read along with us, I'm an expository preacher. And that means we read the scripture and then we expound it to the best of my ability to let you know what it means. Sometimes we read between the lines, which you may not do at home. That's what preachers are for. That's what we do. Saturday night does not pass that I don't ask the Lord to let me recall what I've studied, to recall what I know, and to please give me what I don't know, that I can expound the truth of your word. And he always does that. How gracious he is. Shall we pray? Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Christ Jesus as we can gather to worship your name. That's why we come out, Lord, to worship you, to let you know how thankful we are that you cared enough to send your son to die for us, to pay for our sins, to give us a home in heaven, and we can live every day joyously because we live in your presence. Please remove me from this place that you might be heard, that anything I say that should be forgotten, please make it be, and all that should be remembered, please have it be, that you be glorified, the church edified, and the man near his hell be saved. In Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. You've heard me talk before and tell the story of the missionaries who were being approached by the natives to be in attack. They were going to be killed. They didn't have any way to take care of themselves. And so the father got the family together and just prayed that, God, you've sent us here to work, do your work. And we're doing it. And if it costs us our lives, then it costs us our lives. And if you want to protect us from this attack, then please do so. And the natives attacked with their spears and knives, coming at the house and stopped dead. About 100 yards from the house. Went back under the trees and talked it over. Mounted another attack. Here they came. Stopped dead. Did it the third time and stopped dead. And then went away. And later the man of the house had one of those converted. He became the assistant missionary. He asked him one day, weren't you with the tribe that attacked us? He said, yeah, we were coming to get you. He said, well, you did it three times and you stopped. Why did you stop? There's nothing we could do. And he said, well, it was that big guy on the roof. We didn't want to fight him. This is called an angel of the Lord. And people say, well, I hear stories like that all the time. Are you sure that happened? Well, I'm sure. And you will be too, because the granddaughter of that man is sitting right there. Stand up, honey. Isn't that something? She's from Ecuador. And I asked her, was she familiar with Quito and Dr. Jones's station, HCJB? HCJB means Herald Christ Jesus Blessings. And Dr. Jones went over as a missionary to open a work there, and he was going to build a little radio station with just little crystal sets. I'm sure none of you are old enough to remember crystal sets. They were a little scrapey thing, and you listened, and it would reach, you know, half a mile each direction. But he decided he would broadcast there to reach the people on the street in their little huts. And so he began doing that and preaching the gospel, and letters started coming in from Germany and Japan, from Australia and America. And he said, "What in the world?" And he called in the engineers, and they came in, and they found out his radio station was in the exact spot where some kind of waves, I'm not that technical, hit and bounced around the world. In his little radio station, and the word of God went around the world. I have sat in Greenville, South Carolina as a boy listening to a shortwave radio to my daddy preach, because he'd send records over there and they'd play it on that station, and we'd sit in Greenville, South Carolina, 2 a.m, because that's when it came here, and listen to my daddy preach. I remember that shoe as I'm standing here. So don't worry about what God can do. There's nothing he cannot do. And we will just depend on him for whatever happens. Like the lady we're going to read about this morning. Chapter, verse 21 at Matthew 15. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." But he answered and said, "I'm not sent unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel, but to the house of Israel." Then came she and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It's not meet, not right, to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs." And she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. We read that little portion of scripture, but it teaches you what it takes to receive things from God. The TV has it backwards, of course. They have beat the plant a seed thing. Oral Roberts discovered one day greatest money-making scheme that's ever been made to teach people that if you will send them money, for some reason, God will bless you. They say, give it to God, and I write in and ask, if you give me God's address, I'll send some. Seems to me they only know their address. And gets a little touchy there, doesn't it? But it's come across the television too many times to too many people that you can buy favor with God, that you can purchase his blessings. Not so. God is an equal opportunity blesser. If you will love him and follow him and do what he says, the blessings will come to you. I always figured the blessing I got was to be saved, and he didn't owe me nothing else. He didn't owe me that. But if I got that, I felt it'd be a little selfish to ask for anything else. I can't imagine living in this country in a nice home where we control the environment. If I'm too hot, I turn a knob on the wall and it cools off. Miracle. If I'm too cold, I turn it and it warms up. Who ever heard of such a thing? If I get food, it's kept in a refrigerator and doesn't rot on me. Shame that I should put my bare foot on cold, hard wood when I can have carpets. And for me to ask God for anything else, I look at it as being absurd. Being absurd. If you woke up this morning in America, the roof over your head, and a little pocket change, and food was available to you, you have just advanced to the top 5% of the people in the world. And sometimes we forget that, don't we? But this woman had come. Jesus had been, we read last week some of his travels. So he went and departed to the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Now understand, Jesus was Jewish. He was sent to the house of Israel to preach to them first, as he says in his own words here in a few minutes. But the Jews had nothing to do with the Gentiles. and especially to the Canaanites. And he had gone to the northern part near Tyre and Sidon because he wanted to get away from the Jews who were trying to kill him. So he thought he'd go up there. He knew that they wouldn't come into the Gentile area because there'd be a war, as it is today. And so he went up there to get a little bit of rest. And this woman came to him while he's in that area. He said, "Behold, a woman of Canaan." Now, the Canaanites and the Jews more than hated each other. This was deep-seated enmity. The word enmity, when you see it in the scripture, means deep-seated, deep-rooted hatred. I mean, they didn't speak. They didn't do anything but fight and hate each other. And here's a woman from Canaan, a Canaanite, out of the same coast, coming to Jesus for help. She cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me, Lord, O thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." Now, this woman who came wasn't coming in the right spirit. You see, she had heard that the Jews were expecting a Messiah. She had heard along the way that a Savior was coming who could heal the sick, raise the dead, make the blind see. And he actually was going to set up a kingdom and be king over everything, and peace would rule. And she wasn't a part of that, and she didn't believe in that, but she had heard of that, evidently. For she came and addressed him as the son of David, which was a Jewish title. She didn't know who she was addressing. She had hope that this man could do something for her daughter who was demon-possessed. Now, this is prayer. And there are two kinds of prayer. There's prayer that's given with a hope that perchance there is a God, and perhaps He is merciful, and just maybe He does give blessings, and if I roll the prayer dice right, He will bless me. That's chance prayer. That's people who pray who don't have time to come to church. They don't have time to read the Bible. They don't have time to come to Bible study. They don't have time to pray on a regular basis. They're not in a daily contact with God. So when they have a serious time of trouble hit them, which we all do, then they cry out to a God whom they do not know and hope a miracle will be done and He will answer them. No, He won't. Because He never heard you. You have to pray to the right God to get answer to prayer. You have to know who He is. You have to know from whence He came. You have to know, does he have the ability? There are people praying to pineapples this morning, believe me. There are people praying to anything you can name. I saw a prostitute on TV. Wasn't from Hollywood. She's from across the sea somewhere. And her living was made on the streets of India in prostitution. I can't imagine that poor country living in those conditions. And on top of that, she's a street hooker. This is a bad way of life. And she is praying to a symbol of that which trade she is in. Showed it on TV. She said, "I know nothing else to pray to. That's how I make my living." Now, when you get to the bottom of idolatry, I would assume that was it. But idolatry is idolatry. You either pray to Jehovah, God the Father, through God the Son, or you aren't praying to God at all. I don't care how many prayer mats you have and how many times you face the Walmart praying five times a day. It ain't going to happen. Nobody's listening. Too many people equate religiosity with Christianity and prayer through the one mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. For if you don't approach God Almighty through His Son, the one mediator, then you do not approach God Almighty at all. Please understand that. So these people who run around and, "God help me when trouble comes," there's a few questions. Which God? which God? That's what we do. We tell you about the God. There is but one Lord, and there is one faith, and there is one baptism, and Christianity is it. Well, that's a little selfish. I didn't start it. I just report it. There's one Lord. His name's the Lord Jesus Christ. There's one who died and rose from the dead. Amen. Amen. There's one who died and rose from the dead, who had the authority to shed his blood and purchase us out of the depths of hell. One, no more. All the so-called religions of the world have a holy book. Don't know who put holes in it, but that's the only way it's going to get holy. Compendium of nonsense is what they have. They call it the Word of God. Word of God doesn't have errors in it. Word of God doesn't make mistakes. Word of God doesn't lead you astray. And the Word of God will lead you to Jesus Christ, not somebody else. Now we have a pluralistic society. Big word for let's make everybody equal. It's not so. It's not so. Well, you're an exclusivist. Yes, I am. Jesus was, and I am too. He said, come unto me, ye who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There's no pluralism there. It's not come unto me or someone you think would be just as nice, good, benevolent, merciful as me. You see any of these other religions you run into, ask them the question, who's your Savior? And how did He save you? No answer. No answer. Where is Brother Buddha today, Chinaman? Oh, we can take you to his grave. We think we have a hair of Buddha. Well, you better hold on to that hair, because that's about as slim a chance as you got to facing God. Well, now the Muslims, they're moderate and peaceful. Excuse me, we lost 2 billion. Please keep your peace at home, okay? You cost us 3,000 people. You're a horde of murdering, cold-blooded, godless people is who you are. Oh, you shouldn't talk like that. That book says to talk like that. That book says stand up for Christ. You see, the problem we have in America is not that we don't have a lot of Christians. We have closet Christians. Everybody else come out of the closet, we might as well too, don't you think? Right. Time for us to come out of the closet. If you use the Lord's name in front of you, correct them. Excuse me, I'm a Christian. That offends me. Please don't do that. I hear little children. Oh, my God! Do you not know that's using the Lord's name in vain? Vain means emptily. Vain means without reason. You don't tell jokes with God's name in it. You don't say, oh, my. Well, they can say it, I guess, because they hadn't got one. I don't know what God they're talking about. And the shock it's going to be when they stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and He says, account for your sins, and they start telling how they did this, did that, and He looks with that cold stare and says, I'm sorry, I never knew you. Next. Oh, I thought it was kind and merciful. It is. But a holy God is a God of love. Love demands justice. Today, they don't want you paddling your kids behind. Right? They ain't a bit of use in the world for a butt on a kid except to correct him. It don't do nothing. Just sits there. Not next to any vital organs. You can't hurt him. You can't injure him by giving him a little paddle every now and then. Well, we shouldn't. We should talk to him. You ever tried to talk to a six-year-old? Seen the Volvo ad with little girls just talking and talking, and daddy's trying to listen, And then he says, shuts the door and walks. She's still talking. And he gets around to the front driver. She's still talking. Rah, 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 rah. Ain't listening to nothing. You have to correct children. The quickest way to correct people is pain. Believe me. Quickest line to truth is pain. See, the countries who do that, who still believe in that we still send some of our prisoners to, thank God, because we want to get the truth. You send some of these wild people that want to attack us back to their country who's trying to find peace, you know what they do with them? They hang them up by the feet, put them in a cellophane bag, and start dripping water into it. And he'll be real brave for about 10 minutes till that water gets hair high. And he knows it's coming on. And then they will drown him if he doesn't come up with the truth. You say, that's cruel. I understand it. Just saved 10,000 lives. I had a friend who was a sergeant major in the Marine Corps. I don't know how many nails you have to eat to get to that position, but it's a lot of them. This is the head sergeant in the Marine Corps. He's dead now, so they can't put him in jail. I say, Lucky, what did y'all do in Vietnam? He said, oh, I said, we'd capture two or three, put them in a helicopter, and go upstairs. I said, you speak English? I know what they do. They say, shoot out the door. Do you speak English? Yes, sir, I do. I happened to get right in on that when y'all started coming. I said, I need to learn how to speak that language. I mean, you couldn't shut him up. Boy, the number two guy could learn some English. The number one didn't. The war was on. You had to get to the truth. And so we get to the point where we have people crying out to a God they don't know. How sad. Boy, sad they don't know. It's sad that our preachers didn't stand up and tell them who he was instead of compromising and going along with every form of doctrine that came by other than there is one faith, one Lord, one way to heaven, and that's through the cross and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the country, the churches who have gotten back to that are overflowing with people. The others are losing members left and right. Why? Because 3 points and a poem don't get it very long if you have a brain in your head. Man says, I'm not learning anything. This isn't touching my heart. I don't cry when I go down there. I don't feel the touch of God in church. Then get in another one until you find him. You see, this is what this girl did. This isn't the first person she went to try to find out what was wrong with her daughter. She'd been to the religious people in her land. They had no answer. She'd been to the witch doctor. She'd been to the soothsayer. She'd been to everything. This woman is dead set on getting her daughter freed of this demon. Most churches today don't even believe in demons. And a great deal of them have one preaching to them. The Lord Jesus cast out demons. To not believe in demons is to believe he was foolish. To believe he lied. And the day comes that you can call Jesus Christ a liar because you are so superior intellectually. Congratulations, you're going to be one of the smartest people in hell. And we got a lot of professors going there for that reason.
Well, I know that's what Jesus said. However, the way I see it, well, keep looking because it's going to get real dark real quick.
You're going to outer darkness. And you will hear there over and over and over and over the preachers on the radio and television and the old preacher your grandmother used to take you to and all the folks who tried to witness to you and really get you to be made into a true worshiper of the living God. You will hear them for eternity and can't do anything about it. How sad. Two or three people die, friends of mine from the 50s down here, went to the bedside and said, please, this is not a game. You have one more chance. Well, no, I figure, you know, all the excuses. And I said, listen, this book tells me that one day every knee shall bow and every mouth shall confess that the Lord Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords. And you may be hard-headed today and know everything today and set in your ways today, but one day you will bow before the Lord Jesus Christ and proclaim Him King of kings, Lord of lords. But if you wait till then, it will be too late. You have to make that proclamation while you are living. Because he said, even those who pierced him shall see him. Oh, you got me on the cross, but we'll meet again. We'll meet again. Herod pointing his ridiculous finger and telling the Lord of glory, don't you know I could take your life? Jesus did everything but laugh. He looked in the old murderer's face and said, you could do nothing unless my father allowed it. You will see him. You can avoid him today, and you cannot go where the gospel is preached, and you cannot have anything to do with things of the Lord, and think you can hide and think you can be. Adam tried that. You're not the first one. Tried to hide in the garden behind a tree. Where are you, Adam?
I'm over in the bushes.
What are you doing over there? You sinned against me? Yeah, but it was her fault, that girl you gave me. Things ain't changed a whole lot, have you? You know, you go in a little restaurant or a business that just opened up and they got a dollar in a little frame, the first dollar they earn there for good luck. You've seen them in different restaurants and businesses. I'm glad when we see the Garden of Eden again. Somewhere on a tree, God has put in a frame the first buck passed. It was that woman you gave me. Isn't it easy just to pass it on? That's what we need. No, this woman came and said, look, my daughter is vexed with the devil. I know what's wrong with her. The son of David, will you please fix her? How strange verse 23 is. And he answered her not a word. Now here's a woman in pain. Here's a woman who needs mercy, and here's the mercy giver. In pain, and here's the pain reliever. She needed a devil cast out, and here is the only one that can truly handle the devil. And he didn't even answer her. Why? You see, she needed a lesson in humility. She needed to learn not to call on him as the son of David just because that's who he was by gossip. Or the Jews have someone come, and he's one of their own. He's a son of the King David. He's a Jew. And so she called on him by his title, you said. He said, no, I don't accept being called on by title someone attached to me. You will call on me as the Lord God Almighty, or you will not call on me at all. This is the lesson that's coming. Answered not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away for she crieth after us. She's bugging the disciples. Now, he didn't answer. He didn't say anything. So she figures if you're with him, you're close to him, you know of him, maybe you have influence with him, I'll talk to you. So after them she went. This is one persistent girl. Her persistence to find the answer to that devil that was in her daughter. She wasn't going to let go if help could be found. You notice how many people who will say, well, I've prayed and prayed and God won't answer my prayer. Say, how much have you prayed? Well, Monday, I said a little something to her. Wednesday, I remember saying, Lord, now please get that done. I don't think so. He said, seek me with all your heart, and then you will find me. This is talking to God with the door shut in your room and your body lying flat on the ground and tears in your eyes saying, Lord Jesus, I can't go any further. Please help me. You'll hear that. You'll hear that. Done it too many times. Seen the answer come up. Miraculously. Gloriously. We got a new amplifier this morning. A friend of ours who loves the Lord Jesus sent us some money where we could buy a very expensive amplifier. So the word goes out more clearly. The singing is so much more beautiful. I stood back there and heard it. I said, thank you, Lord. We needed one and we didn't have any money. An instant came up that I had to come up with about $4,000. I looked at the bank account and they said, I'm sorry, you don't have a bank account here. I don't have a bank account. Opened the mail and there's plenty of money there. Somebody loves us, it sent. And I opened it and saw it. Nan told me it was there. And I said, I wonder why God sent this. I found out real quick. And now it's gone. He knew a week ahead of time. I said, what a God. What a God. You can hear better this morning, I assume, when your speakers that are here. That amplifier is a wonderful thing. I heard the singers, y'all weren't that good that last time. You know what I'm saying? We couldn't hear you as well last time. Well, we can now. Isn't that good? I said, please don't tell me that when you cry to the right God in the right way, that he does not hear and he does not answer in his own way, because I will call you a liar. And then I will prove it, as this little girl will with her grandmother. We don't know why we stopped. We just didn't want to fight that giant on your house. Come on. Do you not know the giant stands behind you every day? If you know him. Little Melissa here, we almost lost her. Where Melissa is, there she comes. Little Melissa, we almost lost her a week ago. Driving up here, some fool passes four people doing 85 miles an hour on 17 and hit her head on. Put her in the hospital, and fortunately Ed had bought her a car where the motor drops out if you hit the front. I didn't know they made such a thing. And I don't know that he knew that when he bought it. He just thought it was a good idea. Little did he know one day that car was coming and would hit it and the motor would drop out and she'd be dead this morning. Don't tell me God doesn't look after his own. Okay. Too many people, too many times to call it coincidence. Whoa, me. Yeah, you worship the pineapple. I'm going to go with Jesus. Didn't answer a word. Now she's bugging the life out of the disciples. Please, don't you understand? My daughter is dying. We don't know what to do. She's rolling in the floor and running naked in the streets. And we don't know what to do with her. And the devil has her and she's vexed. What can we do? Please, aren't you the one who cast out devils? And instead of doing what the Lord had been trying to teach them to do for 3 years and go ahead and cast the devil out, they go to him and say, send her away. She keeps crying after us. Isn't that something? Kind of like me and you when we have opportunity to stand up for the Lord and we don't because we're scared we're going to offend somebody. I don't have to worry about that. I've already offended everybody. But he answered and said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I'm not to help this heathen. She doesn't call on me by my name. She doesn't know who I am. I'm not supposed to help her. She asked some questions between verse 24 and 25 and found out from somebody, wait a minute, honey, come here. That's not just a title, the son of David. Let me tell you who that is. I've seen this man touch the blind and they can see. I've seen this man touch the leper and they turned pure. I've seen this man reach his hand down and lift up a child who was dead on the way to the graveyard. He walked again. I've seen this man stand in front of a tomb and cry out, Lazarus, come forth. The dead man walked again. You are talking to the Son of God. This is God in the flesh who is here today. And she said, oh, now that you explained it. She said, how did she, you know she said that? Because verse 25 says, then came she and worshiped him, saying, Lord Jehovah, help me. When she came to him as God, when she came and worshiped him as God, because only God is to be worshiped. And I don't see in here that Jesus said, oh, ma'am, I'm just a healer. I'm just a health nut. I'm just one of these gurus trying to spread some good news around and make everybody smile and be happy. Don't call me God. Nobody's God but God. I don't see that before verse 26. I see he answered and said, it's not meet, meaning it's not right for me to take the children's bread, that which I'm supposed to preach to the Jews, and cast it to the dogs. You see, the Jews called everybody of any other religion a dog. There are only two groups of people, them and the dogs. And she said, truth, Lord. She acknowledged she was unworthy. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Boy, I wish I'd have had somebody could close like that when I had a sales organization. Said, yes, that's true, Lord. I can't argue with that. However, even the puppies, she's saying, eat from the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Please understand, the Bible is so far ahead of the news, it's a joke. You've been reading this for 50, 60 years, some of you, some of you longer, and don't even know that's where hush puppies came from. Where'd you think they came from? The dogs used to come in, hang around the table like yours does, begging for something to eat and whining and roar, 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 and they'd take a little bread and throw it to him to shut him up. Hush puppy. That's where it comes from. That's where the name came from. I'm not kidding. That's where the name came from. You thought that was new. That ain't new. And this woman says, yet when the dogs are barking, you do throw them a hush puppy. That's true. And you aren't supposed to throw me one. I understand that. But I've noticed that even the little puppies eat the crumbs which are left over. And I believe you are the Lord God Almighty. And I believe that you can unvex the devil. I do believe you can heal my daughter. I'm putting my complete trust in you. And I don't need all of your mercy and all of your love and all of your power. I just need a crumb, because a crumb of your mercy is enough to send that devil running. Amen. Heard that somewhere else. Said when the devil's on your case, just mention the name of Jesus and he will flee. I've read that verse over and over. Just mention the name of Jesus. If you haven't been attacked by the devil, you hadn't lived yet. You hadn't lived. Been there. Done that. Some of you going through that now. Been attacked by the devil. Listen carefully today and see what you have to do, because this is what it takes to receive things of God. The knowledge of who he really is. Approaching him in humility and seeing yourself unworthy, crying with total persistence to him, and letting him know that you believe in him so much, you're going to stay on your face in tears and cry to him until he answers. He honors that. He honors that. I had wife die of cancer. Those of you who have cancer here and you talk to me and I pray for you, and I say, honey, I know what you're going through. A lot of people will tell that to you, and I know what you're saying. No, you don't. You just think you do. I appreciate your kindness, but you don't know. I'm going to tell you I know. Been there. Done that. And my little wife, the Lord chose to take her home, and he's got good math, though. He took one, gave me two. That ain't bad. And I get the other one back. And I have requested that I don't be present when Ann and Patricia meet, but hey, it wasn't my fault. They both came after me. You know what I'm saying? You know that's true. You know that's true. Oh, me. God's good, isn't it? God's good. So she said, just a crumb of your mercy. And I learned when little Patricia went home, and Ann had been calling to ask about her. It was her best friend. And I said, well, she's going soon. And she went home. And fortunately, before she died, I went to preach to 50 preachers in Columbia, and convention they had. And I told Patricia, I said, doesn't your friend live here? She said, yeah, she's from Columbia. I said, well, go get her and tell her you want her to meet your husband. She didn't say we're going to meet her at church. Brought this pretty girl to the meeting. And I preached. At the end, gave the invitation. That little girl got saved. That little girl found Jesus. A couple of months later, my wife, Trisha, dies. And broke my heart. I mean, I'd been through so much before that happened, and then that came on me to where I was saying, Lord, whatever it is you got planned to put on me for the rest of my life, could we have it by Friday and just get it over with? Because I've been through so much now, I can't go through anymore. And sure enough, Trisha dies. I'm going from Winston-Salem across to Hendersonville and down to Greenville. And in the car comes the devil, or one of his emissaries. I don't know who it was. I just know that I'm not too scared of too many things. But have you ever been in a room where something was wrong and the hair on your head, back to your neck stands up? You don't know what it is, but there's something wrong there. Wasn't any noise, and I don't hear things, voices, and do all that craziness you hear people do. And all of a sudden, it got ice cold. And the hair on my head stood up and my arm stood up. And I said, caught me in a weak moment, didn't you? I don't know who you are. I don't know if you the one or just a one, but I know from the hell from where you came. And I not only know where you came from, I know why you're here. You're here in a moment of weakness for me to tell me God doesn't love me. You'll see, it saved my life. You're here to tell me if God really cared anything about you, he would have healed your wife. Because after all, didn't he heal all those other people, your Bible says? I know why you're here. But it will not work. If I read where at the mention of his name, the demons will flee. So you sit there as long as you want to. But this is what you're going to hear. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. How you doing over there? Jesus, 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 Jesus. Right. All right. I'm telling you. And all of a sudden you said, shoot. It's gone. I said, thank you, Jesus. Get one of them double cheeseburgers at Hendersonville. Right? Man behind me that had been at the hospital with me and been up there to stay with me, give me a little comfort while we were tending to Patricia, said, who in the world were you talking to? And I told him, he said, I thought so. And I was praying for you. Yeah, but my heart. Yeah, but my heart. Tell somebody who don't know. Tell this woman after Jesus did what it says in the last paragraph. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. And he only said that to two people in the Bible, by the way. He said that to this woman, and he said it to the thief on the cross that saw who he was as he was dying. Only two. Great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. As we say, whatever you want, you got. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. The daughter wasn't there. The daughter was at home. And God doesn't have to be in your house to cure somebody in another house. And he said, from that hour, I can see her going home and him meeting her saying, guess what happened? Guess what happened? The devil's gone. Look at your daughter. She's dressed and kind and just she's cooking supper for us tonight. Look at this. She's well. She's whole. And I can hear this lady say, about what time that happened? Could it have been about 3:30 yesterday afternoon? And all of them say, how'd you know that? Watches haven't been invented yet. They said, yeah, just as the early afternoon was coming, she was healed. And the Bible doesn't say, and we don't add to the scripture, but common sense tells you things are added to it that were done in light of things like this. And I can see her now giving her first sermon and holding her first evangelistic meeting. And saying, yeah, let me tell you what happened. Gather around here. Get everybody. Get the neighbors. Come on, let me tell you what happened here. I met the man called Jesus today. I met the Savior of the world. I met the great healer. I met the great I Am. I met the Creator. I met Jehovah God face to face. And he heard me cry. and I worshiped him, and he healed her because of that. How many of you would like to know this Jesus? I guarantee it was a short evangelistic meeting, but boy, was it a good one. Well, that's the whole story, my friend. We tell it 1,000 different ways, but that's the whole story. You are, he is, and you better be. It's real short. So today, I don't know what your problems are. I know you have many. You come to me with some of them, and I try to help. But I'm not the helper. I try to do what I can, but I can't do much. Boy, I know somebody who can. And if you've been coming to that God in the name of another God, you've made a mistake. If you're not persistent in crying after him and really believing in your heart, had it marked, didn't go to it. Matthew 6:7. Ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. You say, well, that's got to be not too truthful because I prayed and hadn't got answered. Listen, in the Greek, let me read that to you how it means, okay? Keep on asking. Ask and ask and ask. It's in the linear tenth. It's 5 times the strength of the English. Ask and ask and ask and ask and ask, and it'll be opened unto you. Seek and seek and seek and seek and seek, and you'll find. Knock and knock and knock and knock and knock, and it'll be opened to you. For everyone that asketh like that receiveth. But everyone who just sends up a wimp prayer to a God they don't know, you already got what you're going to get. That's nothing. He don't want part of you. He wants all of you. It's total commitment. It's not signing a card at the front of the church or walking down an aisle or popping bubble gum and grinning at Billy Graham. That's not the answer. The answer is I'm lost. I need to be found. I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I know I'm a sinner. Now I know you're the Savior. And with all my heart and soul, I commit myself to you. I repent. I want to walk in a new direction. Help me. I'll learn more. But save me, Lord Jesus. You pray that prayer, guarantee you a seat at the table in heaven. On the promise of the word of the living God. Shall we pray? Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have a God who reveals himself, Jehovah.
And you revealed yourself to us through the prophets and through your word, and now we know that we call on you and you're there. We don't just speak and babble into the air. We know that we have the ear of the Almighty because you said we can approach the throne of grace boldly. That we no longer have to refer to you as if we are servants, but we can call you Abba, we can call you Daddy. And anytime we call on you with a need or a praise or a prayer, we know that it's heard.
In the throne room, we know you will answer our needs as you see fit. Thank you for your goodness.
Love, if there's anybody here who doesn't have a Savior, listening to means of radio on the world wide web, wherever they are, Lord Jesus, let them understand. Like this woman, you've got to come to you where you are. She found you, and today they have.
May today someone somewhere, because of hearing your word, will say, I surrender all. I'm going to give it up. I'm going to commit myself to Christ. I believe you died on Calvary's cross, shed your blood for the sins of mankind, was buried and arose the third day, and have gone to prepare a place for those who love you and are coming again soon. Take us unto yourself, and with you we shall live forever. I believe that, and if you believe that, you just tell the Lord where you sit, and I promise you a place in heaven. thank you, Lord Jesus, for your kindness, for your mercy, for supplying our needs that were so great this week. In Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen.